You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are some stories that unsettle us not because of what they tell us, but because of what they leave unsaid. Tonight's tale is one of those, a narrative that lingers in the shadows of the mind, refusing to fade. It begins, as many chilling stories do, with a young girl and an unshakable sense that something unseen is watching. Tia's journey takes us from the windswept coastlines of Oahu, Hawaii, to the quiet suburbs of California, and finally, to the confined hallways of a college dorm. Along the way, she encounters whispers in the dark, flickering lights, and the haunting presence of a girl she only knows from her dreams, a girl named Abigail. But what's most disturbing is not what Tia sees, hears, or feels, it's the questions left unanswered. Is Abigail the key to these experiences, or is Tia, as some believe, uniquely attuned to something beyond the ordinary? What would you do if every time you moved, the strange followed? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've been keeping this to myself for years, but it's time I finally share my story. Maybe hearing it will help me make sense of the things I've experienced. It all started when I was 8 years old and my family moved to a Marine Corps base in Oahu, Hawaii. From the moment we stepped into the house, I felt uneasy. It's hard to explain, a constant prickling on the back of my neck, like I was being watched. The house backed up to the old elementary school, a place everyone whispered about. Rumor had it, the school was built on a burial ground, though no one could say for sure. What we did know was this: no one ever went into the bathrooms alone. You didn't walk the halls after dark. It wasn't fear so much as an unspoken rule among the students, one I quickly came to understand. Not long after we moved in, the dreams began. I still remember the first one vividly. In the dream, a girl with dark hair and a long blue dress was running across a field. She looked terrified, glancing over her shoulder as a man in dark pants and a white shirt chased her. It was never clear who he was. His face was always blurred, like I wasn't supposed to see it. The girl ran up to a house with big wooden steps. She made it to the porch, but just as she reached the top step, he grabbed her by the back of her dress. She fell, hitting her head hard against the edge of the step. There was blood, so much blood. And then the dream shifted, zooming in on her necklace, a heart-shaped locket, as it slipped through a crack in the stairs, landing in the dirt below. I woke up crying, shaking. The image of her pale, lifeless face burned into my mind. That dream came back to me again and again in the weeks that followed, always ending the same way. My parents told me it was just my imagination, but it felt like more than that. I didn't know who the girl was, but I knew that she'd been real. As if the dreams weren't bad enough, things started happening at school. One day I couldn't hold it any longer and had to use the bathroom alone despite the pit in my stomach. The moment I walked in, I felt it, like I wasn't alone. I rushed into a stall, but as soon as I sat down, the walls began shaking violently, as if someone was pounding on them from the outside. I ran out of there as fast as I could, tears streaming down my face. I told the principal, but she just smiled and told me it was probably my imagination. That's when I started noticing the graffiti in the stalls. Messages scrawled in faint, jagged handwriting. One day I saw my name, Tia. Find it. Things weren't any better at home. Late one night, I was reading under the covers when the lamp beside my bed began flickering. Then my bed started shaking, the mattress trembling beneath me. I bolted into the hallway, heart pounding, but I stopped dead in my tracks. The hallway was directly above the staircase, and I could feel something coming up the stairs. It was like an invisible wave of cold air creeping toward me. I ran into the bathroom and locked the door, crying myself to sleep on the cold tile floor. The next morning, I woke up with one thing on my mind, the letter A. It was in my dream that night, flashing over and over again like a warning. I didn't understand what it meant until later when I started to think it might be a name. Abigail. By the time we moved to California 2 years later, I thought I'd left it all behind. But the moment we settled into our new house, it started again. My sister and I shared a room, sleeping in bunk beds. One night I heard this strange rubbing sound, like someone was wringing their hands together. I leaned over the edge of the top bunk to tell her to stop, but no one was there. My sister was outside with the rest of the family. Another night I woke up and saw someone standing in my bedroom doorway. It was a woman, or maybe a girl, with dark hair. She wore a white dress and she wasn't very tall. For a moment I thought it was my grandmother, but when I went downstairs I found her asleep on the couch in her red pajamas. Whoever, or whatever, I'd seen wasn't her. That's when I started to realize that whatever this was, it wasn't tied to a place. It was tied to me. And by the time I was in seventh grade, it was no longer just strange sounds or fleeting shadows. It was something much more physical, something I couldn't ignore. One evening, I was babysitting my younger sisters while my parents were out. We were downstairs at the dining table, coloring and painting. The house was quiet except for the occasional sound of our markers scratching against the paper. Then we heard it. Footsteps. Slow, deliberate steps coming from upstairs. At first, I tried to convince myself it was the house settling, or maybe the wind, but then the top stair creaked, a sound we all recognized because it always gave us away when we tried sneaking downstairs late at night. I grabbed my sisters and pulled them into the downstairs bathroom, locking the door behind us. We sat there in the dark, huddled together, my hand gripping the phone so tightly it hurt. None of us spoke. We just listened. The footsteps didn't stop. They moved down the hall above us, pausing directly over our heads. We stayed there until my parents came home 2 hours later. I wanted to believe it was nothing, but deep down, I knew better. By the time I was in high school, I had grown used to the fear. If you can ever get used to something like that. But one night, something happened that I'll never forget. I was coming up the stairs, the house quiet and dark behind me. I was almost to the top when I felt it. A hand, cold and firm, wrapping around my ankle. It yanked and I tripped, falling hard onto the steps. My heart was racing, but I didn't dare look back. I could hear footsteps, heavy and deliberate, coming up the stairs behind me. I scrambled to my feet and ran to my room, slamming the door shut. That night I woke up to a voice whispering in my ear. Four words. Soft, but clear. I'll kill you. I froze, my body paralyzed with fear. For a moment, I thought I was imagining it, but then I heard it again, louder this time. The next day, I decided I couldn't live like this anymore. I went into the spare bedroom, the one my grandmother had stayed in during her visits. I don't know why, but I felt like that room was the epicenter of everything. Standing in the middle of the room, I spoke out loud. Abigail, I said, my voice shaking. I know you're here. I know you're angry, and I know you shouldn't have died, but I can't help you. I don't know what you want, but you need to leave me and my family alone. I don't know if she heard me, but after that, the activity in the house stopped. For a while, I thought it was over, but when I went to college, it started again. It wasn't as intense as before, but it was enough to remind me that she or something was still there. One night I was unlocking my dorm room when I heard footsteps rushing down the hall behind me. I jumped out of the way expecting to see someone running past, but the hallway was empty. Another time I was in the bathroom near the showers. I was alone, which was rare, and I heard the same rushing footsteps like someone running toward me. I slipped on a puddle, crashing into a locker and scratching my arm. When I looked up, there was no one there. Then, there was the night my dog died. I woke up in the middle of the night, gasping for air. My chest felt tight, like something was pressing down on it, and I was shivering uncontrollably. I tried calling out to my doormates, but they didn't wake up. The next morning, my mom called to tell me that my dog had passed away during the night. She said he'd struggled to breathe at the end. I couldn't shake the feeling that somehow I'd felt his pain. Even now, the strange things haven't completely stopped. Last year, my mom got a new dog for my younger sisters. One night, I dreamed that the dog had killed my bird, and I woke up crying. A week later, it happened. My mom came home to find the bird dead on the floor. I don't know what to make of all this, Tony. Sometimes I wonder if I'm cursed or if I'm just more sensitive to things other people can't see. Two different psychics have told me I'm intuitive, and one even said, I might be empathetic. That should bring me comfort, but it doesn't. If anything, it only makes me feel more isolated. None of my friends have experiences like this. None of my family members, except for my mom, who once had a premonition before a nearly fatal accident. I don't know why these things keep happening to me or why I feel like I'm carrying this strange weight everywhere I go. But I know one thing for sure. There's more to this world than we understand. And sometimes that knowledge is the scariest thing of all. Sincerely, Tia. Sometimes stories like Tia's leave us wondering, are these events a series of eerie coincidences or something larger at play? For Tia, the line between the psychological and the supernatural seems to blur. Is she truly sensitive to forces beyond the physical, or could her experiences stem from something deeply internal? An unconscious projection of fear and anxiety, manifesting in physical sensations and vivid dreams. From a psychological perspective, recurring dreams and sensations might point to heightened sensitivity, or even undiagnosed conditions like sleep paralysis, which can cause the feeling of being watched, physical sensations and auditory hallucinations. The whispers she heard could have been a manifestation of her own fears, amplified by the isolation she felt as a child. Even the connection between her physical symptoms and her dog's passing might be explainable by a profound emotional bond, sparking a psychosomatic reaction in the moment of loss. But then there are the details that defy easy explanation. The writing on the bathroom stall, the repeated dreams of a girl named Abigail, and the physical touch she felt on the stairs. These moments suggest a different possibility, one that leans into the idea of the paranormal. Could Abigail have been more than just a dream? Could she have been a spirit seeking recognition, closure, or even justice? The specificity of visions and the apparent intelligence behind the activity seem to imply intent, a hallmark of classic hauntings. And what about the broader implications of Tia's story? If she truly is sensitive or intuitive, as the psychics suggest, does that mean some people are more likely to attract or perceive the supernatural? Could her experiences be a reflection of a world most of us are simply not equipped to see? Ultimately, Tia's story leaves us with more questions than answers, and perhaps that's the point. Whether psychological, paranormal, or somewhere in between, her experiences remind us that the world is full of mysteries we have yet to unravel. Maybe the scariest part isn't what Tia saw or felt. It's the possibility that these forces are closer to us than we think, waiting in the shadows, just beyond our understanding. And with that, I leave you with one final thought. If this could happen to Tia, could it happen to you?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.